This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news.
There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Changes at the border. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. On this Thursday, March 7, welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The Secretary of Homeland Security says that human misery is getting worse at the southern border. Hear how the dynamics of immigration have changed.
House Democrats are divided over a resolution that would condemn anti-Semitism.
TV personality Alex Trebek, host of Jeopardy, has stage 4 pancreatic cancer, but vows to beat it.
And how your cell phone number is in some cases becoming a default national ID.
Our phones are becoming a proxy for our identity in the same way that social security numbers did, even though neither the social security number nor the phone was entered our lives with that role.
Scott Rosenberg at Axios on phone numbers as the new social security numbers. House Democratic leaders can't find the support among their own ranks for a measure that would denounce anti-Semitism, so they're delaying a vote over the response to a freshman lawmaker's repeated criticism of U.S. policy toward Israel. At issue were comments from Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, who last week spoke of people who, quote, push for allegiance to a foreign country, which many feel is referring to Israel. A draft of the resolution reviewed by the Wall Street Journal didn't name Ms. Omar, but condemned the myth of dual loyalty, including allegations that Jews should be suspected of being disloyal neighbors or citizens. Washington Democrat Pramila Jayapal.
Many members of the Democratic caucus are just concerned, and concerned over the general rise in hatred that we have seen. And so we want to make clear that we make a stand against all forms of bigotry.
This is a week in which Democrats had hoped to keep the focus on legislation that would change campaign finance rules and government ethics law while expanding voting rights. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen says the U.S. faces a real, serious, and sustained crisis at our borders. U.S. Customs and Border Protection says that arrests of Central American families crossing into the U.S. illegally in the past 5 months has exceeded the total number for the previous fiscal year. In testimony before Congress yesterday, Ms. Nielsen defended President Trump's declaration of a national emergency to obtain more funds for border barriers.
Our capacity is already severely restrained, but these increases will overwhelm the system entirely. This is not a manufactured crisis. This is truly an emergency.
The numbers were the sharpest evidence yet that the flow of migrants is only growing. Border Patrol says that the medical needs for illegals, their arrival in remote areas, and pursuit of asylum claims were pushing the system to the breaking point. House Homeland Security Committee Chairman Benny Thompson, a Mississippi Democrat, described the emergency as non-existent. President Trump has tried to halt the arrival of undocumented migrants by doing things like beefing up border security and limiting who qualifies for asylum. However, new figures suggest that those measures are failing to deter tens of thousands of migrants from journeying overland to the U.S. To understand what's happening, it's important to look at who is coming, what is driving them, and how the answer to those questions have changed over the years. Here's Miriam Jordan, national immigration reporter at the New York Times. Miriam, what's changed?
Historically, undocumented immigrants were overwhelmingly single men, and single men overwhelmingly also from Mexico, who, you know, slipped into the country undetected to find jobs and send remittances or money home to feed their families. But there have been a number of changes in the last, you know, 10, 20 years in Mexico. The fertility rate has dropped. There are more economic opportunities in Mexico. Thus, migration from Mexico has plummeted while it has, climbed from the Northern Triangle or Central America.
Which is Honduras, Guatemala, Nicaragua in there? Which countries mainly are we talking about?
The Central American countries that comprise the Northern Triangle are El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. Those countries have among the world's highest homicide rates. To be sure, many Central Americans have sought safe haven in the United States over the years because they were fleeing, you know, street gangs, extortion, and often the threat to their children who they wanted to enlist or recruit. Now we're seeing different kind of impulses for a migration, and the main one is economic.
We speak with Miriam Jordan, national immigration correspondent at the New York Times. Claiming poverty does not get you asylum in the United States, correct?
Right. So the challenge and perhaps the problem for these people and for the United States government is that the majority of them now appear to be economic migrants who are, you know, fleeing because they need to support themselves, they want to work, they want a better life for their children, but they're also claiming asylum, and asylum is not granted on the basis of poverty.
That's part of the shift here, right? It used to be you're fleeing violence and gangs and things like that, but now it's more economic, you were saying.
Right. So, in fact, murder rates in the Northern Triangle countries, as El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala are known, have been declining in recent years. And, you know, economic imperatives are believed to be the most important factor in compelling people to, you know, exodus those countries. About 90% of the most recent migrants into the United States, according to this new data, are from Guatemala. And the majority of them come from very poor regions of the country, including the Western Highlands that have a very large indigenous population. There are many conflicts over land rights, environmental or climatic changes that are impacting the productivity of land, depressing the prices for crops like maize and coffee, and, you know, all undermining these families' abilities to feed themselves. Many of them are subsistence farmers. So the big challenge is that many of them come here and they ultimately are unlikely to be able to stay because they don't really have an asylum claim. You have to make a claim based on persecution.
To that point also, this is where the smuggling gangs come in, right? They'll promise some of these folks from Central America that their odds of asylum are good. And once they get to the U.S., where the U.S. can only hold a family for like 72 hours, then they have to be released. This is what some of these folks are looking for, right? The opportunity.
Right, exactly. Well, there's a very well-developed network of smugglers who are, you know, known as coyotes, who, you know, who roam the villages where these folks live and entice them by giving them a marketing kind of a sales pitch that they will be able to get through and not be detained or deported immediately if they come with a child.
Thanks, Miriam. Miriam Jordan, national immigration reporter at the New York Times. Border authorities detain nearly twice as many migrants, 268,000, in the first 5 months of the fiscal year that started in October, than were detained in the same period the previous year. 15 minutes after the hour, on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Alex Trebek, the longtime host of Jeopardy, announced he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. He revealed the diagnosis on the game show's YouTube channel yesterday. Mr. Trebek, who's 78, said, "Normally the prognosis for this is not very encouraging, but I'm going to fight this and I'm going to keep working."
Just like 50,000 other people in the United States each year, this week I was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer.
He joked that he has to keep working because he's under contract for 3 more years. Although he took medical leave from the show in January of 2018 following surgery to remove blood clots from his brain after a fall, Mr. Trebek is under contract through 2022. He's been the host of Jeopardy since 1984, setting a Guinness World Record in June of 2014 for the most episodes of a game show hosted. More than 7,000 episodes have aired to date. He's won 5 Daytime Emmy Awards for Outstanding Game Show Host over the course of his career, earning an unprecedented 28 nominations, more than any other host. This portion of the program is brought to you by Quip. One of the most important things we do for our health every day is brushing our teeth, yet most of us don't do it properly. Quip is a better electric toothbrush created by dentists and designers. It was designed to make brushing your teeth more simple, more affordable, and even more enjoyable. Here's what it's done for me. It keeps me brushing longer because the Quip vibrates for 2 minutes and gives you a quick pulse every 30 seconds, indicating it's time to move to the next quadrant of your mouth. It's an excellent product. Makes you feel like an actual hygienist is cleaning your teeth. And with a weighted handle, I feel I'm more controlled with my brushing, not damaging my gums. You can try a special offer at getquip.com/Gordon. No clunky charger. Quip runs for 3 months on one charge. And Quip has made it easy for me to stay on top of my oral hygiene. That's why I love Quip and why they're backed by over 20,000 dental professionals. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/Gordon right now, you get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com. GETQUIP. Getquip.com/Gordon. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, President Trump's former campaign chairman faces the first of his two sentencing hearings today. A Virginia jury found Paul Manafort guilty on 8 counts of tax and bank fraud last August, worth a prison term of as much as 25 years. Top congressional Democrats want to restore Obama-era net neutrality rules that prevent internet service providers like AT&T and Comcast from blocking or slowing down websites and apps of their choosing or charging more for faster internet speed. New York Senator Chuck Schumer.
It's got to be open and free and fair. It's got to give the average person a break.
The House bill comes up for a vote in coming weeks. At a hearing of a subcommittee of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Arizona Republican Senator Martha McSally made the startling revelation to colleagues that she was raped by a superior officer while she served in the Air Force. She delayed reporting the crime because of her lack of trust in the system.
Like many victims, I felt the system was raping me all over again.
McSally says she saw prevention and investigation of reports of sexual assault in the Air Force mishandled. Guilty pleas in a feel-good story that turned out to be a GoFundMe scam. Kate McClure and her boyfriend raised some $400,000 for homeless veteran Johnny Bobbitt after claiming he gave her his last $20 when she found herself cashless in Philadelphia in 2017. Bobbitt has pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit money laundering in federal court and McClure to conspiracy to commit wire fraud. They still face conspiracy and theft by deception charges in New Jersey. R&B star R. Kelly's very, very bad, no good Wednesday ended in jail. It started with an explosive interview on CBS This Morning where he emotionally denied sexually abusing 4 women. Later, he was arrested at a Chicago courthouse, apparently missing a judge's deadline to pay nearly $200,000 in child support and interest. Celebrity chef Mario Batali has officially been bought out of his restaurant group more than a year after several women accused him of sexual misconduct. April the giraffe is on the nest again. While she took her sweet time giving birth in 2017 and kept the world watching for 2 months, the Animal Adventure Park in Harpersville, New York, says she could give birth to her 5th giraffe calf at any moment. Or it could take a few days. But they promise, not months.
We have no comment from April on this, I presume.
She's busy.
I like that giraffe calf. That's
makes you feel good just saying it.
It's got a little ring to it.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Rasa. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Despite falling rents, the storefront vacancy rate in New York City remains over 20% on many popular retail strips, including 5th Avenue and Times Square. Some see a depressing blight. Others see opportunity for fun and profit. Wall Street Journal columnist Ann Cadet found some who see the opportunity. Ann, who did you find?
One thing I found is that there are some artists and musicians that are really having fun. There's one guy named Evan Shinners, and last fall, he's a classical pianist, and he really loves Bach, and he practices a lot at home, and he thought, wouldn't it be more fun to practice in a public space? So he rented a storefront around the corner from Carnegie Hall for more than a month, and for 37 days straight, he played 5 hours of Bach every afternoon and let the public come in and watch. And then in the evenings, he had guest performers come and play. And he really got quite a bit of a following. And the last night, people stayed up until 2 a.m. watching him play, and they gave him chocolates and flowers and all kinds of things. He had a really good time, and he said it was a lot more fun than playing in a concert hall because he had so much interaction with the public.
How about that? So do they actually enter the store, or they're watching him from the sidewalk? How does it work?
No, they could come in. There's another artist. His name is Ray, or R-A-E. He's kind of an anonymous street artist. But a couple years ago, he rented a storefront in the Lower East Side, and he lived in there for a whole month, and he never came out. And people could, but people couldn't go into that one. They had to watch from outside, but they could see him, like, you know, eating lunch and typing on his computer and painting and watching TV and sleeping. And he actually got quite some new patrons and a lot of publicity out of that. So that was kind of another fun use of a storefront.
I guess that's my follow-up. Do these folks find that it's worth their while, I guess, financially?
Yeah, because it's kind of a publicity stunt. And it does, you know, sometimes artists like this, they kind of attract a following. And the Brooklyn guy, Ray, said that he was able to sell a lot of the artwork that he created while he was in the storefront. And it just got him a lot of publicity because he does a lot of installations in general, so he needs people to sort of like support him financially.
Yeah.
Another interesting use I found was some people are renting storefronts to have dinner parties. So they'll rent a storefront for just one night, and they'll hire a caterer to come in and make it look really fancy. And the idea is that they can have a big private party with all their friends or their clients, and people outside on the sidewalk can see in because it's a storefront, but they can't come in.
Mm.
So
wow.
it kind of gives you a sense of, like, show off,
right.
You know.
That's something.
Yeah.
It's like VIP treatment, storefront party. Wall Street Journal columnist Ann Cadet. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Day one for a new employee. Instead of joining in productively, they face a confusing, disjointed process and piles of paper forms. With Kronos, you can automate the entire onboarding process, creating a better experience for employees and freeing you to focus on the human part of your job. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/onboarding. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, March 7. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Secretary of Homeland Security says human misery is getting worse along the southern border. House Democrats are divided over a resolution regarding anti-Semitism. Democratic National Committee won't let Fox News host presidential primary debates. LeBron passes MJ to become the NBA's fourth highest scorer. The Chicago Bears have signed a free agent kicker named Chris Blewett. Tough name for a kicker. And how Taco Bell is rewarding a guy who gave the fast food chain lots of free publicity. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell Small Business Advisors can help you maximize this year's budget and find the right business PC with 8th Gen Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Cell phone numbers have become a primary way for tech companies like Facebook to uniquely identify users and secure accounts, in some ways becoming a proxy for a national ID. This is a problem because that over-reliance on cell phone numbers, ironically, makes them a less effective and secure authentication method. More from Scott Rosenberg, technology editor at Axios. Scott set this up.
Facebook got into a little bit of hot water, as it has tended to do these days, when users found that the phone numbers that they were giving Facebook to use for two-factor authentication, which is when you give a service your cell phone number so that they can double check after you give them a password that it's really you. And so people who were giving Facebook this phone number for that purpose were finding that they could be looked up on Facebook using that phone number. In other words, you were giving Facebook this phone number for the purpose of securing your phone, and Facebook was connecting it to your profile and letting people find you that way. So that was the headline, and I looked at that and sort of looked at it in a broader context of how our phones are becoming a proxy for our identity in the same way that Social Security numbers did, even though neither the Social Security number nor the phone was sort of entered our lives with that role.
Jeez. All right, so explain the concerns here with regards to the cell phone sort of becoming a default national ID, as you point out.
So since we now have our phone numbers essentially for life, ever since about 15 years ago when the government said that you can keep your cell phone number, you know, whenever you switch providers, you're going to keep the number. And, of course, we want to do that because it's convenient. Suddenly, technology services, which are always looking for ways to identify us because the Internet itself doesn't really have a built-in identity system, which is why we all now have this nightmare of a million passwords that we're trying to juggle and manage. They have latched on to the phone. Most of us carry it around all the time. It's a unique number. It's something that we can, to some extent, trust because we know that if somebody sends you a message on your phone, you're getting it. No one else is getting it. So we think, okay, it's pretty secure and it's unique. It's like an ID, except the problem is it's also a phone number. And the phone number is something that's out there. It's not something that any of us thought to secure because, in fact, it's how we help people connect with us, right? Here's my number. We hand it out on business cards.
Yeah. We're speaking with Scott Rosenberg, technology editor at Axios. He's written a piece entitled Phone Numbers Are the New Social Security Numbers. Are we getting to a point where we may just decide to change cell phone numbers to be less unique to technology companies?
I think people who are very concerned about privacy have options. I mean, you can get yourself what they call a burner phone, where you're just buying a phone that is what you use for extreme privacy needs. There are services you can use that will encrypt things more fully. There are all kinds of individual steps people can take, but the fact is that most people don't do those things because they're inconvenient. So Social Security numbers have been around for 75 years, 80 years, and they weren't supposed to be an ID number, and now they're a tax ID and a health ID, and they have all kinds of uses. They also enable all kinds of scams and frauds, as we know, if the wrong people get a hold of them. And I think that that's really the scenario that we're facing with cell phone numbers. I don't think it's going to change in the short run, at least.
Thanks, Scott. Scott Rosenberg, technology editor at Axios. Speaking of Facebook, CEO Mark Zuckerberg said in a blog post that the company plans to offer encrypted messaging across all of its major products and allow people to make private conversations that would disappear after a short time. It is a significant change in strategy at Facebook. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. It is Friday Eve. Welcome in. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, you won't be shocked to hear that a lot of things are left behind by Uber riders late nights and on weekends, but you may be surprised at what some of those things are. The company released their Lost and Found report this week, and among the top 10 most common items left in Uber cars are exactly what you'd think, with phone, camera, wallet, keys, and purse making the top 5. Those are all things that we easily lose on a daily basis, whether we ride share or not. You would think, however, that it would be a lot harder to forget your dog when you leave an Uber, especially one as animated as an eight-week-old Chihuahua puppy. But that's exactly what happened, apparently, as that topped the most unique items lost, according to the company. Also on the list of odd items left behind, 6 chicken tenders from 7-Eleven, a black and white tuxedo for a small dog, a full set of 18-karat gold teeth, a professional-grade hula hoop, a small handmade cat puppet, a full fish tank with fish and water, and a, quote, very important headband with peacock feathers.
Whoa.
Very important. So
right?
These were all self-described.
Yeah. Was that found in New Orleans, like around Mardi Gras time?
Yeah. So I guess people actually go on to the Uber app and they can report these things lost. So that's how. So they self-describe these things. That's how they, you know, they can say it's a very important headband.
Oh, okay.
We all wouldn't think, you know, probably that it was that important.
If you have a full set of 18 karat gold teeth,
yes,
might you opt for a limousine instead?
Right. Yeah. This doesn't make a whole lot of sense there.
And 8-week old Chihuahua puppies,
yes,
apparently are this one really quiet.
Yeah, I mean,
not noticeable in a car.
You wouldn't think you'd be able to leave without the Chihuahua making it known that hey, yeah, you need to take me with you.
Yeah, or perhaps was this one of those, hey Mike, let's meet for a happy hour and guess what, I'm gonna bring my dog. It's one of those deals.
Perhaps. Yeah. Yes, we've
can't
talked
rule
about
it
that
out.
Before.
Right?
Yeah, no, certainly can't rule it out.
Okay.
And just because you can, Gordon, doesn't mean you should. That's one of the many social media reactions to a new food item being offered in Philadelphia. Joe's Steaks and Soda Shop announced it will be offering a cheesesteak placed between two slices of Stock's Bakery pound cake, mashing together two of the city's favorite foods. The eatery announced the concoction on Twitter and said the sweet and savory food will be offered every Tuesday in March. Many on social media were a hard no on this idea, with one tweeting that April Fool's is still a few weeks out. Another person called this cake abuse, while someone else wondered why God would let this happen. On the positive side, some said they would give it a try, with one user calling it the Philliest thing ever.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll try just about anything once, but I think I would like somebody else to buy it, and then I will, you know, try a piece. I would rather not spend my hard-earned money on something like that.
Well, that's the salt-sweet combo, I think, that they're playing on there.
Yeah.
I would give that a try. Okay, I'd buy it.
Yes.
I'd buy it, then give you a bite.
Yeah.
So I would be that guy for you.
We are a short 45-minute to an hour drive from Philadelphia, Gordon.
And what are they calling this thing?
It was just
a concoction.
Yeah. I don't know if it had a specific name or not to it, but the picture said it all.
Mm.
Oh, and it comes with pickles, too. You want to throw pickles into that mix somehow?
No, I might not be sharing it now. You might have just gotten cut out of the deal. 13 minutes in front of the hour.
I used to have a sweet tooth. Had it removed when I was a kid. So what do I crave instead of chocolate? A big red box from Grainger. Grainger satisfies my craving for great customer service with 24/7 support, effortless ordering, and same-day pickup or next-day delivery options. No busy signals, no cavities. I love Grainger. You know why? Because when it comes to reliable product and technical support, Grainger's got your back. Call or click Grainger.com to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for spending time with us. Here's a business headache. Sometimes a business has a similar name to one that faces a threat of going out of business. When Gymboree filed for Chapter 11, some customers, vendors, and suppliers confused Gymboree Play and Music with the clothing retailer many thought the kids' classes company was closing. Sears Hometown and Outlet Stores, which has about 700 locations, is facing collateral damage from October's Chapter 11 bankruptcy of the Sears department store chain. Sears Hometown and Outlet Stores was spun off as a publicly traded company in 2012. Innovative Mattress Solutions, whose brands include stores named Mattress King in Alabama, filed for Chapter 11 in January. Those headlines concerned Nate Grindle, CEO of a Tennessee-based chain of Mattress King locations. Turns out that the Mattress King stores in Alabama and the Mattress King stores in Tennessee have the same name, but no corporate ties. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen reportedly directed his attorney last spring to look into a presidential pardon after federal agents raided his properties. That's what Cohen's lawyer Lenny Davis tells the Wall Street Journal, even though Cohen himself told a House committee last week he had never sought a presidential pardon. Cohen met with members of the House Intelligence Committee for 8 hours yesterday and shared documents, including what he says are edits to the false statements he provided Congress in 2017.
I told them that any additional information that they would want, they should feel comfortable to reach out to my counsel, and I would continue to cooperate to the fullest extent of my capabilities.
Paul Manafort's future lies in the hands of a district court judge. President Trump's former campaign chairman today faces the first of two sentencing hearings for bank and tax fraud convictions. Jeopardy! Host Alex Trebek has been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. The 78-year-old announced the grim news on his YouTube channel late yesterday with his typical optimism.
Now, normally the prognosis for this is not very encouraging, but I'm going to fight this, and I'm going to keep working. And with the love and support of my family and friends, and with the help of your prayers also, I plan to beat the low survival rate statistics for this disease.
Trebek recently renewed his contract to host the show. All the missing have been accounted for in the aftermath of deadly Alabama tornadoes that killed 23 people in the town of Beauregard. President Trump plans to visit the devastated area tomorrow. A homeless man and a New Jersey woman have admitted to a hoax that pulled in more than $400,000 in GoFundMe donations. Marine veteran Johnny Bobbitt pleaded guilty in federal court to conspiracy to commit money laundering. Kate McClure admitted conspiracy to commit wire fraud. They claim Bobbitt gave McClure his last $20 when her car ran out of gas near Philadelphia in November 2017. A terminally ill man in Connecticut got his dying wish, a phone chat with President Trump. Jay Barrett has cystic fibrosis and was recently moved to home hospice care. Trump told jokes with him and also urged him to keep fighting his illness. The call was a truly bipartisan effort. Barrett is conservative, but it was arranged by his sister, a local Democratic city councilwoman.
That's the way much of the world works, isn't it?
A bipartisan effort.
Well, these, you know, just working together is not...
I'm with
sometimes
you, Gordon.
Sometimes it's just, whew, can't believe the hype when it comes to politics sometimes, right? 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's a tough way to get free food for a year, but that's what an Oregon man has scored after he said he survived 5 days in his snowbound truck by eating packets of Taco Bell's fire sauce. Follow-up to a story we brought you earlier. Now the fast food chain is thanking him for the publicity with free food for a year and all the sauce packets that come with it. Jeremy Taylor and his dog Allie were found alive Friday near Wake Butte, Oregon, 5 days after he got stuck in deep snow off-roading. After he tried to walk to safety, he and the dog were forced to stay put and survive with very little supplies. Mr. Taylor, who's 36, said he curbed his hunger by eating 3 packets of Taco Bell hot sauce and stayed warm by periodically starting his vehicle. A snowmobiler found them Friday. Taco Bell told Oregon Live, "We know our sauce packets are amazing, but this takes it to a whole new level." In a Facebook post after his rescue, Mr. Taylor posted that Taco Bell fire sauce saves lives. For Rasa K, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.